by your Spirit. I have eyes to see, ears to hear. Help me to hide your word in my heart and let me live it moment by moment for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, and let's look at something. In my morning devotions with the Lord, He's been doing a purifying in my life and giving me direction how to pray for you here in the church and showing me different things. And He gave me several verses of Scripture to pray. And He had laid that on my heart, and then I was meditating on it. He said, now I want you to take what I showed you in the Old Testament, take it to the New Testament, because that way everybody will be ready to hear, you know, what is there in the New Testament, is because, you know, some people put more emphasis on one part of the word than the other, but we need the whole Bible, amen? So we're going to look at the same message, but we're going to look at it from the New Testament point of view. And I believe if we'll hear tonight, the Holy Spirit will bring some great encouragement into our life. He'll put us under His microscope, and under His microscope, we'll be able to do what Brother Corey was leading us in worship. We'll be able to hear the truth that is spoke to us. I want to hear what Jesus is saying to me, don't you? He loves us. All right, so we need to read a lot of this, but we're just going to pick out for our text, because I don't want to make you stand too long. Let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's start at verse 19, and then we're going to go to chapter 13. Let's read the last three verses here in chapter number 12. If you're there, say amen. Again, thank ye what we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before you, before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Paul said, everything that we do is to build you up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our ultimate desire even tonight. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I should be found unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debates. Look at these 11 things that was going on in the church at Corinth. Lest there be debates, envying, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the last three of these, uncleanness, fornication, and lasciviousness, which they have committed. Now, turn quickly to the 13th chapter, and notice what he says in verse 1. He says, this is the third time I'm coming due to you, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And so this is about the third time the Lord has dealt with you and I examining our heart, and that's why we're looking at this. Drop down to verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves have that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate? Now, for sake of time, drop down to verse 11, and we're going to get the main teaching that the Holy Spirit would have for us out of verse 11. He said, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the love of God, or the God of love and of peace, shall be with you. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Thank you. Thank you for giving me, Lord. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for this message you chose to give to us tonight, Lord. Let us receive it with thanksgiving. Let us open the heart of all time.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for honoring the word. So here, the Holy Spirit is continually wanting to lift up Jesus before your eyes and my eyes, because when we see Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, all of a sudden the Spirit of God starts a pruning process in our life. He starts a purging process, because you and I, we start seeing ourselves in the light of the possibility of the Word in our lives. We start seeing as Jesus, who is that light, starts shining into our lives, He starts bringing revelation to us and showing us little things that hinder your faith, little things that hinder my faith, little things that are in us that we don't even know is there. And so we're to examine ourselves in the light of the Word. Come on, not the light of what somebody else says, not the light of what we may think or feel, but according to the Word. And of course, the Word is what brings your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so here, the Apostle Paul, he founded this church and he worked hard in this church. And this fixing to be the third time he's come to it. He has been addressing several things that has worked its way into the church that is hindering them and is limiting them. And he wants, in his closing words to them, he wants to bring some truth that will be manifested in their life that will liberate them. And that's what Jesus wants for all of us. He wants you and I to be liberated from our old way of thinking, our old way of understanding things. And so he's going into great detail to trying to deposit something in their heart. Now, notice what he said. He said, as we read earlier, about these 11 things that could be in our life. See, if you and I are if we had the first one, like he said in verse number 20, he said, if you have debates, and this word debate is just, it just means strife. So if there's strife between you and your brother or sister in the body of Christ, if there's strife between husband and wife, if there's strife between parents and children, if there's strife between you and your pastor or whatever it might be, it has to be dealt with. There's problem. There's something wrong. And in different situations and circumstances, I feel that strife. I'm just being honest with you. And so that's something that we need to address, and we need to put it under the blood of Jesus, and we need to come back to the Word of God and let the Word of God liberate us and let the Word of God put us on the same page. You and I, we're born of the same Spirit. We're washed in the same blood. We're saved by that same grace. Amen? And it's there for us. And so here he's given this instruction. And you can look at where this same word is in 1 Corinthians 3:3. It's talking about the church being carnal because of this envy and because of this strife. And so we want to be in the place where Paul said, dropping down to verse 5 in that chapter 13, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. See, if I've got any of those 11 things in my life, and the number 11 in Bible numerics means judgment and disorder. That's why Paul said, I'm coming the third time and God's going to judge some situations. But he said, I'm going to give you the word ahead of time before I get there, because if you accept and receive that word, then you and I, we're not in that place where we have any worries or any fears, because Jesus takes it all. That blood is working in our life. And so he said, examine yourselves, see whether you be in the faith. So every area in my life that one of these things that he listed here might be operation in some form or fashion, in all reality, there's no faith there. There's no faith, because there can't be faith, because faith comes by the Word of God. There can't be faith from the Word of God and the Word of the world. So I've got to recognize and realize that the subtle beast of the field, the serpent, he loves to take and put worldly words. He likes to bring strife. He likes to bring division and all these things. And so I need to examine myself and I need to say, no, wait a minute. We may not be saying the same thing in the same words in English, but we're born of the same Spirit. And we're serving the same Lord. He is master of all. And so I've got to come back and not listen to what I'm hearing on the outside. I've got to know that there's a bond of the Spirit on the inside and that we're bound together, amen, by the Spirit of the living God, and nothing can separate us. So I examine myself. I put myself to the test. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to show me whether I'm walking in love, where I'm in the place where I'm not judging outwardly, like John 7:24 says, don't judge on the external. Jesus said, but judge righteous judgment. Judge on the inside. Judge the truth, because that's the only place the truth is. Anything's on the outside, the devil can manipulate it. He can twist it, do all of these things. But anyway, he said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Test your own self. So you and I, we have a responsibility one to another to recognize and realize that we are in this many-membered body. You're holding me up, I'm holding you up. And the way that we're the pillars in the very temple of the Lord, the way that we are those pillars is that we do everything by the word of God. We test ourselves. Regardless of what you believe on 9/11, what happened to the Twin Towers, that metal had been tested, and that metal could not be burnt and melted by natural man's fire. It was put through the test. They knew what it took to melt that metal. Well, you and I, we need to test ourselves, and we need to see, am I strong in this area? In other words, do I have faith in this area, or am I letting another word creep in here? Because it's not just about me. It's my brother, my sister, beside me, in front of me, behind me. I'm part of the structure. Amen? And so we need to make sure that everything we're doing or saying comes from the place of faith, and that'll be from the word. Amen? All right. Now, that was just the crumbs around the plate on the table. This is where we really want to look at. Verse 11, we're going to break these things down because this is what Paul left them with. He gave them those words to get them to think where they were at. But now he leaves them with words of where Jesus wants them to be. And that's the way God always is with us. He shows us where we're at, but then he grabs us by the hand. He speaks to our heart, spirit to spirit. He gets a hold of us and say, listen, come on. Follow me. I got someplace for you to go. And where you're going, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be better. It's going to be growing. It's going to be exciting. So let's look at these now. We're going to spend some time right here. And you get on board with the Holy Spirit and let him bless you. Amen. Finally, brethren, farewell. Now, I don't know, if you got the King James or if you got a modern translation or whatever. I don't know why the King James translated this farewell, because 41 times this same Greek word is translated some form of joy, joys, rejoicing, rejoice. And so when Paul makes this statement, the word from the Greek actually means to be of good cheer. I want to be of good cheer, don't you? So Paul says, finally, I told you all of these things, and I know it's made your heart sad. I know it's challenged you, and I know that it showed you some things that would seem like they're not possible to overcome. But now I'm going to leave you with some truth, and I want you to know if you receive the word that you can be in the place where you can rejoice. So be of good cheer. He said, finally, I want you. It's my heart's desire to be of good cheer. So how do you know when you hear from the Lord versus when you hear from the devil? When you hear from the Lord, he always gives you an option for things to be better. When you hear from the devil, it's something that's bad and it's going to get worse. There's no hope in the words of the devil. So you can always gauge what you're hearing by whether it gives you hope. It builds an excitement. It builds an anticipation. It loses faith in your life. If it doesn't lose faith in your life, then lay it down. It's not worth your time. Amen. It's not worth my time. So he said, finally, brethren, farewell, or be of good cheer. Now, let's get this in our heart. I want to take this little time and to make sure that we understand this. Go with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Let's see where this word that's translated farewell is translated differently, where you can get it in your heart. Jesus is giving, he just gave the 70 an instruction, and they went out and they followed the word of God, and they went and done exactly what he told them they could do. He sent them out, and he told them, he said, I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to do the works that I did. And so when the 70 come back, this is what's happening. Look at verse number 17, Luke 10 and 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Verse 18. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, verse 19, behold, I give unto you power, authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power, I give you authority over the miraculous working power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, here's why he came here, verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. This is the same word that we're looking at in 2 Corinthians. that was translated farewell. So the one that means to be of good cheer. He said, notwithstanding, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So Paul is using a word that Jesus had used because he's trying to get them to receive a word of instruction. And then he's trying to get them, after they receive that word of instruction, to not be browbeaten, not to be discouraged, but to be in the place where they can be of good cheer. And to know if you're blood bought, if you're blood washed, if you've been redeemed, say, I'm redeemed. That means that your name is written in heaven. And so you need to rejoice. For your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that means you have salvation, you have fellowship, you have authority, but most importantly, you have a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, come on, through the Holy Spirit. And so you and I need to be in that place where we're rejoicing. So Paul says, finally, as I'm leaving you, I want you to be in that place where you take everything that has been said by the Holy Spirit, and I want you to let it make you cheerful. See, we should be cheerful when God speaks a word to us that makes us look more like Jesus. I want to look more like Jesus. I've been going through the fire. God is doing a work in me that had needed to have been done years ago, but just to be in all honesty with you, I have been rebellious. I've dragged my feet about a lot of things, and it's took a lot of joy out of my salvation. It's took a lot of fruitfulness out of my life because I just, for whatever reason, I let fear, anxiety, I let things of that was built into me from a young age hinder me. Amen? And so I want to be in the place and the position where I'm of good cheer. I want to be in the place and the position where I know that when I submit to the Lord, that He's going to exalt me. When I submit to the Lord, He's going to give me a word, the strength to do what needs to be done. Don't you? That's ours. Okay, so he said, you and I need to be in this place of rejoicing. So if you and I are going to be able to take the final words that the Lord always has for us in every situation of life, then the only way those words can become seed in your life, in my life, is that we let those words not browbeat us, but we turn them into an avenue, an opportunity to joy, to rejoice. Come on, you are to be full of joy. I ought to be full of joy. We have that obligation. We have that opportunity. We have that ability by the Spirit of God, because the second fruit of the Spirit is joy, right? So you and I, it's available to us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Let's look at a verse. Look at verse number 15. And I just have to pull this out for sake of time, but you can study the whole thought here. But rejoice in verse 15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. But we're looking at the rejoice part of this. So you and I, we've got to see that the devil's going to do anything and everything he can to try to keep you and I from rejoicing. He doesn't want you and I to hear the word. Remember, Jesus said that when we heard the truth would make us free. Can Jesus lie? So I need to hear the truth. And that truth will always liberate me. It will always make me free. And so I need to be in this place and position where I'm able to rejoice with you and you're able to rejoice with me. We may not be in the same place, but we're going the same place. We may not have the same ministry, but we're working for the same orchestrator of the ministry. Amen? Come on. You and I, we have unity. We have a bond of peace that is in our life. And so we need to be in that place where we say, I'm going to rejoice. I don't know why my brother's doing this. I don't know why my sister's doing this, but I'm going to rejoice because I know they couldn't do it if God didn't ordain it. Oh, that's weak. Come on now. I'm telling you, a place of victory. We spend too much time going, huh. We need to throw huh away. If your brother and sister is following Jesus, throw huh away and start rejoicing. God, I don't know why they're doing that. I don't need to know. But I know that you're empowering it. I know you're emboldening them. I know you put that desire there. I know you put that plan there. I know you've opened that door. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be a part of it because I'm a pillar beside them. I'm going to hold them up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Ryan, put Philippians 4:4. What did Paul say in Philippians 4:4? He told you and I to do something always. What did he tell us always to do? How often? Rejoice in the trouble, in the misunderstanding, in the anxiety. No, rejoice in the Lord. You're in the Lord. The Lord wants to swallow up our anxiety. He wants to swallow up our problems. He wants to swallow up our misunderstandings. But I've got to come and I've got to make sure I don't let those things take me out of Him. Remember Paul said, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Test yourself. See, if I start getting the place of judge, I pull myself out of the Lord. And it's a miserable life. Because all of a sudden, I put myself in a place where I'm looking and listening to what people's saying and doing, and I don't know their heart. There's nothing worse than trying to figure out why somebody's doing something externally, and I don't know their heart. Come on, it's miserable. But he said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, rejoicing is a choice. That's all it is. It's just a choice. It's not something that you and I feel. We feel happy. We feel sad. But to rejoice, you have feelings, has nothing to do with it. It's all faith. So he said, finally, brethren. So does that help you any? He just told them what all they was doing. And he was really pretty hard on them. But then he said, finally, brethren. What was he saying? What was Paul saying to them? He had confidence they were going to hear the word. They were not going to fall by the wayside. They were not going to lose what God had done for them. Come on, the church at Corinth is the most carnal church of all the epistles in the whole Bible. They got all kinds of problems and struggles, but yet out of Paul's mouth, the last thing he says, finally, we're reading the same Bible, ain't we? Verse 11, 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Finally, brethren. That means sister and two. Brothers and sisters. Oh, come on, that helps me. I've got problems in my life, and the Word of God comes and corrects me, and it changes me, but I'm not going to fall away. Come on, you're not going to fall away. Jesus is not going to let go of us. We've got problems. We don't have problems like they had. It's like pulling teeth. Finally, brethren, farewell. Notice what he said. Now, if this don't help you, nothing will. He says, be perfect. Be perfect. In other words, know what Jesus has made you to be and just be what Jesus says you are. This word perfect, don't get nervous. It's ket or katizo in the Greek, and it means be completed by Jesus. Be completed by His repair in your life. Be completed by His adjustment in your life. See, when you get born again and you get saved, you get a brand new spirit, and your spirit is perfect before God and in God. Amen? But then the Holy Spirit starts teaching through your spirit. And your spirit starts talking to your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. So your spirit is complete in Jesus, but your soul is still out of whack. And because your soul is out of whack, your body's out of whack. And so you and I, we're more flesh conscious than we are spirit conscious. And so we listen to our flesh instead of listening to our soul. And our flesh drives our mind instead of our mind driving our body, which our mind is supposed to be under control by the spirit. So we got everything turned upside down, out of whack, out of order. So we've got to come back and we've got to say, now, wait a minute. He told me to be perfect. So I know I'm perfect in my spirit, but I need to let Him do some repair. I need to let Him do some adjustment in my soul. And then my flesh is going to come in alignment. Amen. So I need to be in this place of letting this perfection work. He said, finally, my brethren, be of good cheer. Farewell. Be of good cheer. But he said, simply be perfect, be in that place where I'm letting the Holy Spirit bring some correction in my life. So go with me to the Gospel of Matthew 21. Let's look at how Jesus looks at us in the eyes of perfection. And it's so exciting to me. It's so different to me than what man looks like or looks at, I better said. Matthew 21:16. Are you there? Matthew 21:16. And he said unto him, hearest thou what these say? In other words, these chief priests, these religious people couldn't stand what was being said about Jesus. And he said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea. In other words, I hear what's being said. If you knew what was being said, you'd realize there was a prophetic utterance being completed before your eyes, and you would understand what dispensation of time you were in. He said, yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. So out of the mouth of babes, out of the mouth of children, and out of the mouth of these little babies that we're so blessed to have in our lives today, every time they suck, it's a praise to God. Now think about that. In other words, what they're doing, whether they're nursing from the bottle or they're nursing from mama, every time that they nurse, it brings God praise. Because what's that child doing? That child is recognizing and realizing that the total dependence upon life is coming from mama and daddy. And because that dependence and that trust, that's the original praise to God. He's quoting from Psalms 8 and 2 if you want to study it. I don't have time to go there. I wish I did, but you can go to Psalms 8, look at the first few verses, and get where Jesus is quoting from. And so he says, out of the mouth of small children and out of the mouth of these suckling babes, that's where this praise is perfected. So you and I need to see that we've got to be humble as a child. And we've got to realize that we've got to trust him. We've got to completely depend upon the Lord. We walk around like we think we're doing some things. We're not doing anything unless God allows us to do it. Amen? Dawn and I, we'd been praying and we were just sitting there talking and we were just thinking about at this stage of our life how God got us here. I don't know how he done it, but he done it. We didn't do it. No way did we do it. Everything I tried to do, I messed it up. But everything I just let him do, it worked. Amen? So we need to be in this place where we recognize that it's not all the words that we say. If a suckling infant has perfected praise, that means if you'll just trust the Lord, you're praising him. Just trust him. And everything he asked you to do. And the bigger thing he asked you to do, it's not for him. It's for you. It's for me. Because he has better things for us. Amen? Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. All right, so let's go to Luke chapter 6, and let's look at another place about where this karatidzo is used and how he can make a completion in your life by a repair, by adjustment. In Luke 6, let's start reading in verse 39. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them. He said, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Now notice this. Verse 40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect, there's your word, there's the same word, everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now, what you and I have got to see that this word master here could just as easily and maybe better be translated teacher. So We have a promise from Jesus that if we will allow Him to, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. So if you and I will allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, then Jesus said that the Holy Spirit only lifts Him up. He only says those things that would bring Jesus glory. So if we allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and teach us the truth of Jesus, the truth of that word, then you and I can be like Jesus. When I first got saved and started going to church, I could tell stories just like my pastor. I listened to him and I was in awe of that. I would tell those stories to my family and that didn't go to church and all those things. And then I started, we got satellite television, and I started following some of those people on there. And there was one man, especially, I won't name him now, he's passed on. He was a great Bible teacher, but he didn't believe like the Pentecostals and all of these things. And it wasn't long before there's a lot of things happened in my life, and I got really confused. And so you're going to be like your teacher. I'm going to be like my teacher. And so what I'm saying is we need to get eyes off of man. We need to get our eyes and let Jesus do what he said he would do. He said, when I go away, I'll send another comforter. That word another is I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that's going to be just like me. So that's all he can do is teach Jesus. And then we have this promise. So you and I, we need to say, when we sit down to the Word of God and we say, Father, in the name of Jesus, teach me by your Holy Spirit because I want to be just like Jesus. You said that I could be just like my master, my teacher. I am naming you. I'm calling on you to be my teacher. You'll have what you say. Jesus said so. The disciple is not above his master, above his teacher, but everyone that is perfect. In other words, you're going to be just complete. You're going to know what they know. I don't want you to know what I know because my knowledge is always changing. And sometimes it's just wrong. But Jesus is never wrong. Amen? Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at one more place. We're talking about examining ourselves. We're talking about testing ourselves, whether we're in the faith or not. We're talking about letting Jesus change us. Now, let's start reading in 4. I thank my God always, 1 Corinthians 1 and 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. This is what Paul done for those in the church. This is what you and I need to do for each other, for those in the church. We need to pray this very same prayer with thanksgiving, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. In other words, when the teacher, your master, your teacher, your guide is the Holy Spirit, then you and I, we could be enriched by Him in utterance and in knowledge. But you noticed He says utterance before knowledge, because you'll never go further than your speech. Like I told you here a while back, I done went to one person, but I got four more people that I got to go to. I'm going to take care of that tomorrow night. And I've got to retract a statement I made because I said something really because I didn't want to do something. And I restricted what God was wanting to do because I simply just didn't want to do it. And so ever since then, the Spirit of God has just had me on the coals. And so I've tried to teach you. I've known that I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't put a limitation on God. So I've repented of that. I've renounced it, and I'm going to replace it. And then it's going to be gone in Jesus' name. Amen. This is what we've got to do. So you'll never go any further. In other words, well, I read the Bible, but I just don't understand it. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, give me knowledge. What can God do? His hands are tied. Don't let it slide down. Let it stick in Jesus' name. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want everything that the Holy Spirit has for me, don't you? Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus. Verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called, who you were named, unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, all of this is good, but look why Paul said all of this. Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. So the utterance will bring the knowledge. The utterance will bring the unity. I don't know how many times people have said, would you pray that I can be close with this person? And then they look me right in the eye and they say, I never understand them and they never understand me. I don't like when they do this. I don't like when they do that. Take those things to Jesus. Don't speak it out. Pray it to the Lord. You can tell the Lord anything and everything, and the devil doesn't know anything about it. But if you start talking about it, it adds fuel to the fire, and it gives the devil an agenda of how he wants to work in your life and my life. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, notice this, and that there be no divisions, no schisms, no gap among you, that you be, here's the word that Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 13, that you be perfectly joined together, ketarketizo, in the same mind and in the same judgment. So Paul is telling them, he said, hey, listen, this is a command. You can be in the same mind and you can be in the same judgment. Now, he wouldn't tell us to do that if we can't. But we can do it. We just got to be willing to do it. We've got to be willing. I need to do something different. If I'm in aught with somebody, if I have a strife there between, I need to do something different. I need to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, how can this be changed? How can this be made different? And he'll bring revelation. He'll bring unction. He'll bring direction in your life, in my life, where all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes and he gets between any rough edges. And here comes the oil of the Holy Ghost. Just like the oil in your engine, no matter how fast that piston's going up and down, 5,000 RPM, it's just lubricated and it's just smooth. No heat there. Nowhere there. Amen? That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. All right, so Paul just spoke this word to them, and when he spoke this word, the reason why he spoke it, of course, they're not in the same mind, and they're not in the same judgment, right? In other words, he's speaking a word that will bring change. See, if we're not careful, the devil will say, well, there's the word, but here I am. I can't ever get to where the word is. No, you can't. But what did Jesus do? He left heaven and he come down here to where we were at. Jesus is the word. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and beat a dead horse. Hebrews 11 and 3. And I want you to, one last place, let's see why Paul sent them the word. We won't read the first part. You know it, the first two verses. But look at 11 and 3. Hebrews 11 and 3. It says, through faith we understand. And if you don't have faith, you won't understand this. Because he just told us we wouldn't. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Ket artazidso. They were completed. They were put in the right place. That the worlds were framed. How? By the word of God. So thou hast seen, so that thou hast those things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God's word took something that wasn't there and spoke and it created it. So here Paul's talking to them. They're not perfectly joined together, but he brings a word to them. So you and I, every situation in our life that isn't Christ-like, that doesn't have the liberty, the victory, the freedom, it doesn't have the love, it doesn't have the ability to rejoice in it, we ask the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, to take the blinders off. We're not going to follow the world. We're not going to follow the past. We're not going to follow what attitude, every example that you and I have had in all of our life, but we're going to follow the Holy Spirit, and He's going to what? He's going to give us a word, and that word is something you're going to speak out, I'm going to speak out, and it's going to frame, it's going to bring heaven to earth in that situation. If they will receive it. But even if they don't, you have it. Because you can't control what somebody else does, but you can control what you do. People can't argue with you if you don't argue with them. They can argue all day. Nothing makes me madder when me and Donna's trying to fuss and she gets in the Holy Ghost and just sits there and won't argue with me. Now that's annoying. You know that? There ain't nothing you can do with it. That's power. So you've got to see that when Paul is, he showed them where they were at, but the last words he leaves with them is he said, now you can be of good cheer and you can be perfect. If you'll examine yourselves, you can get all of those things out of your life that would bring judgment and disorder. I want the things out of my life that would bring disorder, don't you? I want everything in perfect order. And that's what the Lord has for us. All right, go back to 2 Corinthians 13. Let's look at this. I'm fixing to let you go. Finally, brethren, farewell. You know, be of good cheer. He said, be perfect, be complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the word that He gives you moment by moment, day by day. Be of good comfort. Now, this word, be of good comfort, it means to be exhorted by the word. And so I want to look at this just real quick because we looked at how the word of God can frame some things. It can create some things. But the Word of God can also establish some things in your life. I want some things established, don't you? I won't hold you for just a minute. Go with me to Acts chapter 2, and let's look at the perfect example on the day of Pentecost and how some things can be established. Acts 2:38. It says, then Peter said unto them, because they were done pricked in their heart by what he said earlier, but we won't take time to read that. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now notice this. Verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort. And this is the same Greek word where Paul says for you and I to be comforted. So the only way that you and I can be comforted is we've got to hear somebody speaking the word to us. And if you don't have somebody speaking the word to you, you say what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Hear your own voice. Be a comfort to yourself. Don't be detrimental to yourself by saying what the devil says. The devil says, oh, you're sick and you're getting sicker. The devil says you're broke and you're getting broker. The devil says you have no hope and you're hopeless and darkness is coming and all of these things. Come on. But you've got to speak to yourself. When you've done all against the devil, what did he say to do? Paul said, stand. Stand. Don't. The devil's going to beat on your head. He's going to beat on your mind. But your mind is being renewed by the Word of God, being renewed by the Holy Spirit talking to you. So he said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's what we've got to do in this day and age right now. Verse 41. Then they gladly received what? His word, the word of God. The word of God framed the world. The word of God changed their life in the world. Your life can be changed and you can change other people's lives by exhorting someone, by being a comfort. So when Paul says, I want you to be comforted, the only way you can be comforted is if you're hearing the word and if you're speaking the word. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day, and they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow. That's more pillars. See, the more people you get in your life, the more people I get in my life, the stronger the structure is. See, the devil's convinced me for 40 years to be hidden somewhere in a closet. Don't let anybody hurt you. Don't let anybody hinder you. All of these things, and take care of yourself. So you think you're strong, but you're weak. What makes you strong is when you're willing to do what the Word of God says. Amen? In closing, go back and let's read our verse one more time, 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell, be of good cheer. Be perfect, be complete, be repaired, be whole in the Lord. Be of good comfort. In other words, exhort other people and receive exhortation. And he says, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Aren't you glad that Jesus always wants to be with you? He always wants to be with me. You know how we can, we know that he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you always to the end of the world, end of the age. But you know how we can be assured whether we, see, it's not so much about him being with me, it's whether I'm with him. Because he's going to be with me because he can't lie, he promised. But how many times in your life, if you be honest, if you went somewhere with somebody and you didn't want to go, you were there, but you weren't with them. Maybe that's just me. I had my arm twisted a lot of times, have to go places I didn't want to go. I was there, but I wasn't really there. He said, the God of love and peace shall be with you. How do we make sure of that? One last verse, Philippians 4 and 9. Hallelujah. I don't want you to get aggravated at me. I want you to be encouraged that God wants to make us look just like Jesus. Amen? Look at verse 9, Philippians 4, 9 in closing. I'll let you go. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. This is Paul, the last words to the church at Philippi. And seen in me, he said, do. And look what the promise is. And the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, not just with you like Jesus said, but the manifestation, the realization that God's with you will be there because your heart doesn't condemn you. See, when my heart condemns me, the Bible says I can't even get my prayers answered. 1 John. So I got to come back and I got to do what he says. So his commands are not grievous. They're just fellowship. His word to me is fellowship. His word to you is fellowship. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be in the place where we're examining ourselves. You know, the Bible says if I'll judge myself, I won't have to be judged. Amen. I'll close with this thought. Remember what he said there? He said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And he said, test your own self. And that word test is the same word that we would use for somebody who was a refiner of precious metals, say gold or silver. I remember reading an illustration years ago. It was over in England. And these ladies, somehow they'd got in the wrong part of town. This is way back in the late 1800s. And they'd come across this man, and he was refining silver. And he had this big fire built, and he had all of his stuff there where he was refining this silver. And he was watching that fire, and he was sitting right beside, as close as he could, to that big iron pot. And every once in a while, as he would look at that silver, he'd reach down and hit those bellows, and he'd put a little bit of flame to that fire. And then all of a sudden, that silver, it would change. And that woman, she came up to him. She said, "Sir, you're doing important work here, refining this silver. But how can you sit so close to the fire? And why do you choose to sit like you do?" And he said, "Ma'am, you don't understand." He said, "Whether this silver is made like it's supposed to be or whether it's destroyed depends upon the look that I get on the skim of that silver. And that look on the skim of the silver comes from the fire underneath." And he said, "I've got to be right here in the midst of the fire to make sure the product is what it's supposed to be." In the Old Testament, in the book of the minor prophets, and I can't thank, Lord, have to help me. I don't know where the verse is, but it seemed like it may be Amos 3:3, but it's some 3:3, and that's not right. But it says that the Lord, He's our refiner. So when you feel like you're going through the fire and you're getting too hot, Jesus is right there. And He won't let you be ruined. He won't let you be destroyed. He's going to make sure, no matter how much fire the devil puts on you, no matter how much fire this world puts on you, it's going to make you look more like Jesus. You're not going to be destroyed, but you're going to be the perfect product, because Ephesians 2:10 says that you are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we submit to You. We hear Your word. We examine ourselves now, not by the external, not by what we feel or think, but by the word of God, which is our faith. We examine ourselves by the Holy Spirit showing Jesus into our lives right now. And Lord, if there be anything that would hinder us, that would hurt us, that would limit us from looking just like Jesus. Because when that refiner looked and saw His face in that silver, the silver was ready. Lord, we want the whole world to look into our lives and to see You. And I know that there's areas in my life that they cannot see You. I want to examine myself. I want to test myself with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I want You to be able to help me to put out a presentation of the glorious Savior, Jesus the Christ. It's that prayer for me. It's this prayer for this whole church. Help us, Lord. Show us the truth. And let anything that would try to conquer, try to divide, try to limit, try to hinder, let it be burned out as an impurity tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar and say, "Lord, here I am. I want to look just like You. I want to trust You. I want to be in the place where I'm doing what the Word of God says I can do. I'm going to be simply what the Apostle Paul said I could be by the unction of the Holy Spirit." Would you come and do that tonight? The Lord just wants to love on you. Isaiah, he looked up into heaven and he wanted to worship God so bad. But he said, "Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips." And what did God do? God sent the seraphim, sent them down there with the very coals of the altar, and touched his lips and they were cleansed. And he was able to go and carry forth the whole prophetic message of the book of Isaiah. You're going to complete and carry forth the whole will that God has destined for your life, because you're willing to submit. You're willing to stay in the fire for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah.